And like I said, it's a very timely situation. And today's message is very much in line with that. Entitled the message, Divine Assignment Directed by God's Providential Plan. When I think of what is happening in our culture today, right now, I want you to know that we are all standing tiptoe on the edge of a very new, or rather a new millennium. I believe that we are in a strategic moment of time whereby you and I today are here with an opportunity of a lifetime. We are not here as a church just to be a church. We are here as a church for this millennium, for this time, for this moment. I recognize from the book of Esther, and I'm going to take this book and bring it across to you. This is a time when Mordecai, the older cousin, began to speak to Esther when she was a queen. As I begin to read that passage, I want you to follow with me in Esther chapter 4, verse 14. It says, "For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" The book that has been described was during an expansive kingdom. It was a growing kingdom during the time of King Ahasuerus. There's another name that you will probably read. It's called King Xerxes. During this time, I want you to know King Ahasuerus is the grandson of King Cyrus of Persia. Those of you who study with me in the book of Haggai, you will know that Cyrus was a key man who is a catalyst, who decreed to the people of Israel to go back to Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple. He was King Cyrus, and the grandson is King Ahasuerus. King Ahasuerus is a prominent man. During the time, there were still many Jewish people, even though there were remnants that has gone back to Jerusalem. But yet, we have many more still in Babylon. There is now currently rule by Persia. Since the Jewish remain in Babylon, we have the king, Ahasuerus, preparing for his final preparations for a battle against Greece. The king was preparing for that battle, and he was very confident that he is going to knock out the whole entire nation. But before he does that, or he did that, there was an extravagant celebration. This extravagant celebration is about a time to prepare himself for a 6 month of military planning. So he wants to celebrate that, and it was a 7 day banquet. During the time, the Bible showed us Esther chapter 1. That was the time. And in Esther chapter 1, we notice that the king was drunk and wanting his wife, Queen Vashti, to come out and appear before the crowd. But she refused. She rejected. And that insubordination has put the king to shame. And that causes him to be very angry. When I read the story and the history of that event, I realize something that has to happen. Chaos has to happen on this side in order for God to prepare something here as a provision of his will. Queen Vashti was rejected as a queen. because the king was very angry. As I began to look at this situation, I realized God is in the puzzle. God is in the situation. Though at times we look at the problem, we don't understand the problem. But while he was in the situation, God was also preparing something else. If you think you are going through a problem, let me tell you one thing. There is something behind you that God is preparing. Whatever you think you are going through, that's not the situation. There's something else that God is preparing. Somebody say amen. You may think you are having trouble today, but there's something else that God is preparing to see the fulfillment of God's promise. And that is exactly what happened. King Ahasuerus was going to war against Greece. And as he went, after 2 years, King Ahasuerus was frustrated for his inability to conquer Greece. The king was so angry, but nonetheless, as he was frustrated, he needed a distraction for himself. And what was the distraction? He was thinking about having a wife. Not bad, isn't it? Thinking about having a wife is like a distraction. And if he thought of it, and that's where we have Esther chapter 2, and from verse 1 to verse 4. Let me read to you. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus subsided, he remembered Vashti, where what she had done and what had been decreed against her. Then the king's servants who attended him said this, "Let beautiful young virgins be sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather all the beautiful young virgins to Shushan the citadel into the women's quarters under the custody of Haggai, the king's eunuch, custodian of the women." So we are now witnessing God's design for his provision in regards to his people, where the right person or the right people will be chosen. True enough, two chosen people came into the scene as to fulfill God's promise. God prepared two faith-growing individuals to show his infallible promise. And they were Mordecai and Esther. Whatever that happened, God is preparing something else here. And while he was preparing, he chose these two individuals. God's chosen one was there to fulfill God's promise. My question to all of us, are you God's chosen one to fulfill God's promise in your family? I repeat, are you God's chosen one? Are you God's chosen one as a father, as a mother, as a worker, as a servant, as a professional person? Are you the chosen one to fulfill God's promise in your family, in your company, in your job? Are you the one? I believe it on my heart that God, who's called us, he has chosen us to be his children, not for any reason, but to fulfill God's promise. I believe that you are not a father and a mother just because your hormone says you are going to get married and have children. I believe far more than the hormones that you have. God has chosen you to be the person to fulfill God's promise in your children's life. That's what I believe in. Because each and every single one of us who sit right here can call back and return your memories and say, when I was young, and you never thought that God has a promise for your life. I believe God has a promise for my life when I was young, but I do not know what that promise was when I accepted Jesus Christ. Mordecai, who was roughly about 15 years older than his young cousin Esther. But during this time in chapter 2, verse 7, Esther was known as a young virgin. She was lovely and she was beautiful. The Bible tells me how wonderful their relationship was. And I could imagine in my spirit that Mordecai, as the older cousin who has taken the responsibility to raise this young, beautiful girl that is right in his hands, and he has so much responsibility, and began to coach her, began to train her, began to teach her all about what God has done. There was a covenantal relationship that was very much established in the heart of this little young girl. Mordecai had coached his cousin like any God-fearing Jews would do so. Isn't it true? And then we begin to see, just as the Holy Spirit prepares the bride, which is the church, to fulfill God's promise too. My question to you today and this morning, are we coaching and teaching our loved ones to fulfill God's promise in the future? Mordecai was just doing his part, training that little young girl to understand and to know God and to experience God. That is why the church have Bible studies. That is why the church wants to develop a godly fellowship, not ungodly gossip. We want to establish a godly fellowship to grow and to groom people's life. Because we know one day, this life that we are grooming is going to grow up with the promises of God. And they will come and rise up and be able to fulfill what God has promised in their lives. It's how you are going to feed our children. It's how we are going to teach our children. It's how we're going to teach each one of us as a family of God in the house of the Lord. Because all that we teach, because one day you will rise up to fulfill God's promise in your life. I pray today that we can see God's providential plan that is oftentimes designed in a way that you and I do not expect. Right now, God placed Esther in the palace, a young virgin girl. Do you know that God always positions us as His provision? I repeat, God positioned us as His provision, so that we are ready to fulfill His promise. Do you know that Esther, as a little young girl, grew up like in any ordinary young girl? She never thought of that one day she's going to become a queen. She thought to herself, maybe one day I'm going to grow up and meet a nice gentleman, as handsome as any one of you gentlemen here. She would always think, praise the Lord. As Esther was just thinking through, completely oblivious of God's supernatural plan. Have no idea at all. She just went through day by day as a little young girl. And she grew up, constantly being groomed up, never knew there was a supernatural plan ahead of her. If you and I are not groomed in the Lord right now, we can never be positioned by God. Are you with me? If we are not groomed as natural as it should be right now, we will never be in the position that God has. Esther was just thinking of her everyday life, but God was planning His supernatural provision for her life. While you and I grab hold of some of these ordinary things, you do not know that God was planning an extraordinary things for your future. While you and I working and growing our family, you do not know that God was growing His work inside your family with visions and dreams. While you and I feeding the little ones, the baby, the little child, you did not know that God was feeding us with the supernatural plans. Because you know why? Our eyes could only see thus far. We could only see what the natural things could do. We just keep feeding. That's the reason why I'm telling you, listen to me very carefully. You got to understand what it means to feed your children. You got to understand what it means to feed one another. You have to understand if you do not take heed of the seriousness of feeding your family will be corrupted. Are you there? We need to feed our family. That's why the society is corrupted, and we got to stop that. The only way to stop it is the church must rise up. Feed the children the things that needs to be fed. Not the corruption of this world. Not the things of this world. Feed them the right stuff. If you do not groom them while they are young, God will not position them when they grow older. But I want you to know the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, and we know that in all things God what? God works for the good of those who loved Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Isn't it wonderful? Don't be selective. Oh, I'm going to teach my kid this. The other one, I do not need to teach. You've got to teach every single one of them. Grow them the way it should be. This is the time when Esther entered into the purification process. This is very interesting. The historian Josephus says that probably about 400 virgins were taken to the palace. As they were taken to the palace, they were told to stay in the palace for 1 year. What was it for? It was a work on their appearance. 1 year to work on their appearance. You know what I mean? 1 year, mine. No wonder during the wedding the girls take so long to do their makeups. Because at some point after 1 year, all the virgins will be presented before the king. Do you know the process took 1 year to just work on the external beauty? How many of you know that it's going to take more than 1 year to work on inner beauty? Somebody say amen. Some of us think that it's going to be the same. No, 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 no. Sometimes it can take 10 years. For some people, even longer. Oh, I heard a voice saying, yes, yes, I know what you mean. I heard it from this side. External beauty takes 1 year. Inner beauty can take even more than 10 years. But nonetheless, Esther was there for 1 year for this external beauty to be worked at. But you see, while they were working on her external beauty, God was already working on her inner beauty. Isn't it true? And as they were working, I do not know what sort of perfume they use. Well, sometimes it could be Estee Lauder. I don't know, Calvin Klein. My name is quite close to that. Maybe Azaro. Not Azahil, praise God. Chanel. But all of these appearance is to make them look good and smell good. Everyone works on their external beauty. But I want you to know, God is more interested in our inner beauty. Nothing wrong with external beauty. In my premarital counseling, I always tell the girls after getting married, please always look beautiful for your husband. Husband, Always look handsome for your wife. Don't suddenly, after getting married, eat all that you want. Then something goes wrong. Then we may have to take one more year of that external appearance to work at. Always look beautiful for each other. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I always dress well for my wife. Somebody say amen. Amen. My wife say I look handsome. Praise God. It's true. I didn't lie. It's true. You ask her. Because I always want to look good, and I always want her to look good as well. So whenever she buys something, ask me, how do I look? That's where I put my judgment in. Praise the Lord. I didn't know that I became a consultant for my wife's beauty. Praise the Lord. Why do you laugh? It's true. But all of this training was all done within a year, a special instruction on the court etiquette. An intensive training. Can you imagine that? Not only look good, smell good, you got to walk properly, you got to know how you eat properly. This is a royal thing. So she has to go through it. But the fragrance is so crucial. There's a proper mixture of the fragrance to make them smell so good that the king will be so pleased with that woman. And I begin to think about that. Because in the Old Testament, there was an incense that is very much mentioned. And it represents the praise to God. Where is the fragrance of God today? In the Old Testament, the altar of incense was placed at the tabernacle, and the priest will pour the perfume on the hot coals of the altar of incense so that the scent will go up to heaven. It was meant to please God with the sweet-smelling incense. And I could also think through that when Esther was so filled with fragrance, there is so much of us that needs to have the same fragrance, not the physical fragrance, but the fragrance of the praise unto the Lord. Why? Because the Bible says God dwells in the praises of His people. It is very important that we have that aroma, because the Bible tells me, as Paul stated that clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, for we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ. Now, during the time when Paul wrote that, he was referring to the Roman victory parades. Because when the soldiers were marching after a victorious battle, there was this burning incense that was done and carried out on altars throughout the city. The smell of the incense, the smell of the aroma was so pleasing for all the victors. Brothers and sisters, when you and I are victorious, we become pleasing aroma to Christ. We are to live by the power of God, where we carry the fragrance of that aroma. We are to walk in the name of Jesus Christ. As we walk in that name, we carry the fragrance of that aroma. We walk in love for Jesus every day so that we carry the fragrance of His aroma. When you and I walk under His anointing, that anointing is where God break the yoke of bondages. You can walk in that fragrance of His aroma. Brothers and sisters, how can you and I carry God's anointing when the bondage is still not broken in your life? If you have the anointing of God, listen carefully. If you have the anointing of God, that bondage you have will be broken. Are you there? How can it not be broken if you have the anointing? Do we carry His fragrance every day? Esther did that. He brought the fragrance of God's presence in her life. As she presented herself though physically so beautiful, yet within her, the fragrance of the aroma of God's presence is even stronger. And as she approached the king, she was truly approved and accepted. Will you carry the fragrance of God and lift up your life and say, God, let my life be a praise unto you. When the Lord look at you and see you as his praised, when he see you as his praised, he could smell the fragrance of that aroma. And the Lord approve and will be pleased by your praises. With all these praises, God continued to show us and unveil his plans and his directions. And so, this is the beginning of that plan and the direction. Esther now became a queen. She was so blessed, and the king approved her as his wife. Right now, as much as you and I know, when God is pleased and God is honored, I want you to know God will raise you up into a higher position. Not only to be in the palace, but to be the queen of that palace. She is now a queen. I begin to see the providential work of God is in progress. Chapter 4, verse 6 now begin. Why? Because when the woman or the queen is now in position, the test begins. Do you not know that when you are in the position where God put you in and you say, whoa, I'm in position, I'm in authority, wow, that is great. But if you are not ready for the test, you are not ready for the position. Can I say it one more time? If you are not ready for the test, you are not ready for the position. What was the test? This test was about a man, Mordecai, whom he despised, whom he refused to bow, whom he refused to acknowledge. Because to the Jew, bowing down is only unto the Jehovah God Almighty. The song that says the angel bowed down to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They don't bow to man. So Mordecai held on to the conviction. He was so strong with his conviction, he lived by it, by what he believed. And Haman, who sat in authority by position, was so frustrated and angry, he vowed that he would destroy all the Jews in that land because he heard that Mordecai and the rest of the community was residing in that land. And so Mordecai heard about what Haman had done. He cried out for help. And he went to the cousin, the only one who sits in position, that God has placed her there for a purpose. But she was sitting there without realizing why. She was in position, she was chosen, she doesn't even know why. The purpose is now begin to unravel because God unraveled his purpose during a critical condition like this. God is going to stir Esther into action. When we are too comfortable and forget about God's purpose, where we are, God is going to stir us up. Brothers and sisters, listen to me very carefully. Maybe you have forgotten the reason why you give your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you have forgotten. I don't know. Maybe you have forgotten your purpose for living for Jesus. Maybe when you were young that time and you get excited, you say, I know what God has called me to do. I want to serve the Lord. After 10 years, you have forgotten. God will stir us up. If we have forgotten God's prophetic words or even the vision that God has placed in our heart, He will stir us up. By the way, God stirs the heart of those who believe they have a destiny. Don't forget that you and I have an appointment with destiny. This message, as I said, is all about God's destiny. We spoke twice. Divine assignment, having the right friends and the right plan of God. Hearing the voice of God, as the first one was mentioned. But today, the divine assignment is about God's providential egg. God is going to stir us up and remind us of that destiny. Mordecai, he heard about the genocidal decree. He tore his clothes, he dressed in rags, he put ashes on his head and began to mourn openly and lifting up his hands to the Lord, to the heavens. I do not know about you, but when you live by the conviction of God and you see something that is against your conviction, will you tear your hearts when you begin to hear the distorted mind that is happening in our society? Will you tear your hearts when you people are trying to tell you to go about saying yes to immoral order, immoral living? But you and I know in our conviction we have to say no to immoral living. That is the word of God. Because we live in a distorted mind having safe schools. We have to say no. Because God is stirring our hearts and tearing our hearts, waking us up and not taking it lightly and say, this is part of the politics, nothing to do with me. It has to do with you. It has to do with your children, your next generation. And we need to live with that. And we got to stand up and pray. My question, how many of us actually tore our hearts and pray? Mordecai said, Esther, you have to go to the king. You must plead for the lives of your people. The need is overwhelming. And if we look at chapter 4 in verse 13 and 15, God stirred the heart of Esther to the point she finally realized she needed to get back to God's assignment that is through the providential plan of God. She needed to get back to the assignment. And this is what the Bible says. Mordecai warned the royal cousin. And I paraphrase that. He's saying this. Look, Esther, you'll be dead if you do. You will also be dead if you don't. They are going to find out that you are a Jew. Sooner or later, you're going to be dead if you don't do anything about it. Don't ever think you could escape. That's why Mordecai said, for if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's household will perish. And finally he said, because Mordecai recognized the sovereign source of help. And so he said this, yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows? Who knows that you are here today in this generation for such a time as this? In this culture, in this land? Who knows that you are here for a purpose? It's not just about attending a church. If people are not interested to understand what it means to attend a church, but once you understand your purpose. The purpose we are here is to fulfill God's promise. That's the purpose. And Mordecai said, who knows? Who knows that you come to this kingdom for such a time? As this. This is a moment. Mordecai affirms the sovereignty of God. He recognized that. He is so confident of the revelation of God. Look at verse 16. Esther said, now go. She was so stirred in her heart. She says, go, gather all the Jews and all who are present in Shushan and fast for me, she says. And then he says, neither eat nor drink for 3 days. Night or day, my maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. I think it's time for us to get together to pray for our Christian authorities. Esther said, come, get everybody ready. Pray. Pray for me. Pray for me. I'm going to make my stand. I'm going to stand for conviction. We have too many cowards around. I'm going to stand in my conviction. And I'm going to speak out what needs to be spoken. So Esther told the people to pray. Are we ready to pray for our Christian authorities? Esther said, if I perish, I perish. She put her life on God's hand, and she put her life on that line as well. Listen, brothers and sisters, in God's providence, there will be a call for sacrifice. In God's providence, there is a call for hard work. In God's providence, there is a call for diligence. How can you and I say, I'm going to succeed in my exam if you don't study? Isn't it? You have to. You have to work hard. You have to work diligently. It's not how you feel. I don't feel like studying, mommy. I don't feel like working. I don't feel like cleaning my room, mommy. Hey. I don't care what you feel. Honestly, it's about the essential area. What you need to do is not how you feel. So I'm going to say this one more time. God is saying very clearly, in His providence, there is a call for hard work. There is a call for diligence. There is a call for sacrifice. The problem today is that Christians are not told about their destiny. Christians know they have a destiny, but they do not know what their destinies were. But you were told. Two different sermons that I preach, you were told about it. Today I remind you, your destiny is to restore lives. Your destiny is to bring blessing to people. Your destiny is to deliver and help to save lives and bring lives out of their danger. Stay onto that. Because the scripture says, you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Mordecai said, Esther, you are here to deliver your own people from this danger, from this genocidal decree. He wants to demolish all the Jews. You are here for such a time. Church, you are here for such a time as this. To pray, to intercede, to declare that God will reign forevermore. But there are times we need to stay open for divine interruption. We have to stay open for divine interruption. Sometimes we call it God's intervention. But I do call it divine interruption. You remember the Lord's wife in Luke chapter 17, verse 32? She only appears once in the Old Testament. The reason is because she refused to break away from her past. She turned back and looked back. You know, friends, there is a need for divine interruption in our lives in order for the family to be delivered. Lot's family was delivered, except for his wife. Divine interruption was very necessary because God knows what is coming ahead of you. He knows something that you do not know. But at this point of time, when you are interrupted, you get angry. You get frustrated. You say, why God didn't do these things? It has already passed 1 year. Nothing is happening. God didn't do anything for me. Those of you who study the book of Haggai, may I repeat that for you? God's people refused to rebuild the temple. And the Bible says that the Lord withheld the heavenly dew. The Lord refused fruitfulness in their harvest because there was divine interruption to cause the people to be awakened, to realize something is not right. God interrupted many of our plans because you plan for yourself. You plan that you're going to go this way. You plan that this is your direction. But somehow along the way, God says, no, this is not what I want. This is where I keep interrupting all your plans. And you get so frustrated. Why is it, God, that you did not do this? Why is it, God, that you did this and I have been stopped? Maybe you never understand. But I'll tell you what, when God interrupts you here, there's something great here. Somebody say amen. I want to illustrate a real story. Back in the early years, this was about a flight attendant by the name of Elise O'Kane. She was the attendant for United Airlines flight. She wanted to work on her usual trip from Boston to Los Angeles that month. But in August, when she was scheduling her flights for September on the airline's computer system, she accidentally inverted two code numbers and wound up with the wrong schedule. She managed to trade her flights with other attendants for her all her trips except for flight 175. So the night before, she logged onto the computer system again and tried to request the flight, but the system froze. So by the time it finally processed her request, but she was just 1 minute past the airline's deadline for those or such changes. So her request for flight 175 was denied. She has to fly to Denver instead of Los Angeles. And this is what O'Kane said. I was not happy and I was not on that flight. I was driving to work steam and angry. And on the shuttle ride for all the employee parking lot to Logan International Airport, right on Tuesday morning, she sat near a very cheerful reserve flight attendant, Robert Fangman. This 33-year-old man was gushing about being called into California flight because of the wine called Bloody Mary. And he was ready to have his great time. And he says, I'm just so excited. This is going to be a great trip. And she replied, I can't believe you got in. I tried to trade into that last night. And she told herself, though she was angry, looking at this youthful exuberance, she humbled herself and let him enjoy the trip. The scheduling error kept Elise O'Kane from getting into flight 175, which finally crashed into World Trade Center. United's flight 175 struck the South Tower in World Trade Center. Fangman and all her colleagues on her usual flight were all killed. She asked this question, why me? Out of all those wonderful people, why me? What have I done? I'm not a saint or an angel. When the colleagues learned O'Kane was not on board, they swarmed her with tears and hugs. God has a plan for you. Everyone says that. You were meant to be here. And O'Kane said that was the hardest part. Although her colleagues meant well, she became frustrated, wondering what grand mystical plan lay in store for her. Immediately after 9/11, O'Kane took a leave of absence. She felt the world has changed, and so had she. And she said this, I need to give back and fulfill myself. Something has changed inside me. The idea of nursing popped into her head. And so the story went on. She became a nurse to give her life back to the society. No one feels good about divine interruption. Isn't it true? She didn't feel good at first. But that was the time when God began to unveil His purpose in the midst of this horror created by the enemy. So friends, sometimes we all have that disruption, isn't it? We want to do something. We want to be great. We want to do something good. But God interrupted. You know why? You wanted to do something good, but God has something great. Romans 8:28 says, And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who loved Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Today, would you want to be in God's providential plan? Would you be ready to groom your loved ones, your children, yourself being groomed in this church in preparation for His promise? This church believes in God's promise. Do you know that God has chosen us to fulfill the promises of God? He has chosen you to be the mother, to be the father, to help your children to fulfill God's promise. Do you know that God has placed you in that position, in that profession, that He has chosen you to fulfill God's promise? Do you know that God desires to position you after the spiritual grooming? He wants to lift you up to another level. But if you are not groomed where you are today, you are not ready to be in position. Do you know that God stirs the heart of those who believe that they have a destiny? Are you ready to allow God to stir you up? Or would you be angry and say, God, why do you do that? Because you are comfortable where you are. You forgot your vision. You forgot the purpose that God has called you to. And so, because you have forgotten, God is going to stir you up. You go through the test to be stirred up. Stirred up, stirred up, stirred up. Until you wake up and say, whoa, have I forgotten something? God will stir us up. Divine interruption will happen when we are too comfortable and forget our purpose in Christ. If God interrupts your journey, sit down, be still. Don't get angry over anyone or anybody, including God. Sit still and say, God, tell me, what is it? What is it that you want me to do? I have always have plans. In fact, all of you do. When we were young, we all have plans. I want to be this, I want to be that, I want to be a lawyer, a doctor. Nobody wants to be a garbage collector. We just want to be great men. Yeah? And God began to interrupt. God began to change the plan. God began to work on us differently. So not compare your profession. Do not look at somebody else as though somebody has a higher profession than you have. God has placed us in position for a reason. And that reason is to fulfill God's promise. Amen. I pray today that you will sit there and begin to realize that you as an individual contain God's promise. And the providential plan is in progress so that you can fulfill that promise in your life. Can somebody say? Amen. Amen. Let's bow our hearts together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful Lord. What an amazing God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to challenge you to take the step of faith. My heart desires is to see that the Church of Jesus Christ arise as individuals to fulfill God's promises in their lives. But as you begin to see a lot of things happening on one side, remember there's something great and supernatural God is preparing on the other side. So that we will be brought in to this plan of God and be chosen to fulfill His promise. I pray today that you recognize that God's promise is inside of you and you will be ready to arise and say, Lord, help me to fulfill your promise in my life and through my life. Children given to us, they are all gifts from God. And they too contain God's promise. But we must take our responsibility to feed them whether little ones or youth. By the way, don't take your youth for granted. Grow them the right way. Don't let them miss any meetings. Let them grow in the Word of God. Because every single one of them has a promise of God in their lives. I'm going to ask you today, are you ready to feed them so that they may grow and fulfill God's promise?
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.